For those just tuning in online, we started at 4 o'clock this afternoon and we just stopped for a little break, so we're running a little bit late on this meeting. We'll start with disclosure of pecuniary interest and general nature thereof. You can speak now or later on when the item comes up. Can I get a mover and seconder to approve the agenda, please? Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Maiden. Any discussion on the agenda? All in favor? Carried. Move right into our special reports. Treasurer Whitmarsh. First one, interim report number 8 on financial implications of COVID-19. You can please go ahead.
Thank you. I thought it was important that we have a COVID update prior to starting budget deliberations, just so that you know where things stand as we're making decisions moving forward. So I'll start on page 2 of the agenda. And I'll go right to the daycare. This report is just a follow-up to ones that I've previously presented. So, and the report goes to August 31st. So up to that point, the daycare is operating with a deficit of $122,649. I expect that deficit to continue through the fall. What I'm really watching right now is, as you all know, that we're entering the second wave of COVID. And if the province announces further restrictions in capacity or closures as we move forward, then that will make the situation even worse than what I'm expecting to happen. So a little bit later in the fall, I'll be able to hopefully provide some predictions on revenue losses right to the end of the year. But I don't have that right now, only because recreation is, like, hockey season is just getting ramped up again. So I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen in that regard. So speaking of that, the recreation, this is on page 3, presently has a surplus to the end of August of $26,381, but that's primarily due to canceled events and therefore the avoidance of those expenses through the summer months. After writing this report, the Curling Club has advised that they will not be operating for the 2020-2021 curling season. So the next version of the draft budget will have to be updated to reflect this change. The Almont Old Town Hall Auditorium revenues to the end of August, $22,945. Last year, $35,357. So down about $13,000. The library still has a surplus to August 31st of $81,972, and that was because of early receipt of their grants and staff layoffs during the closure period. The building department has still ongoing activities, high activities, so they presently have a surplus of $237,520 to August 31st. And water and sewer has a significant surplus, $853,411. But again, I have not done any funding of capital for the year at this point in time. We've talked about taxation and that, you know, things are progressing. The bills have gone out as scheduled. So, and I have not been contacted by anyone asking for payment plans outside of the norm. Grants, so we all are aware that $361,000 is coming from the province for COVID-related expenses and pressures. So that's intended to cover things like cleaning, bylaw enforcement, signage, PPE, et cetera, as well as revenue losses. So for daycare, recreation, and I note the loss of dividends for Ottawa River Power Corporation and Ottawa River Energy Solutions of $68,800. So I'm in the process right now of tabulating all of the expenses that we've had to date and also looking at the revenues, and as I mentioned, trying to project to the end of the year. So I'll be bringing that forward in a subsequent report to council, whether it's at a regular committee of the whole meeting or at a subsequent budget meeting. We've talked about the loss of penalties and interest in the past because we chose to not charge any penalties and interest on the final tax installment, and we're seeing a loss of interest income from our investments and our bank account since the pandemic started. Still no real significant supplemental taxation. We do get reports every month and are planning on doing a billing very shortly. However, compared to previous years, it's really non-existent. There's not much there. So they're still trying to work out how to get that information to us, how to assess properties and get the information to us. So still at August 31st, we have cash in the bank of $7 million and investments of $12.96 million for a total of almost $20 million. And at August 31st, the entire 2020 tax billing amount to be paid on the September installment is 27.19%. The tax due date is actually today, so hopefully that goes down. And in 2019, at the same time, was 27.08%. So I'm not seeing any real spike in tax arrears. Same for water, not seeing any spike in arrears. It's slightly higher than at the same time last year, so arrears are up by 0.57%, but the due date is not until October 13th. So again, I'll continue to monitor that as we move forward.
Okay, I'll start with a mover and seconder for the recommended motion. The Committee of the Whole accept the Treasurer's interim report on the financial implications of COVID-19 for, dated September 29, 2020 as information. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Girard. Questions and comments? Councillor Holmes.
Thank you so much for the update. I'm wondering, are we going to be receiving any more monies from the provincial government to help offset the COVID expenses? Are you aware of anything else coming down?
Nothing confirmed at this point. There has been some discussion that there may be monies coming to support daycares. There definitely is some federal funding coming to support the daycares from September 1st to the end of the year for, it's actually going to January 1st, for additional PPE. But that's the only thing that's confirmed. There is possibly a second round of COVID-19 funding similar to the $361,000, but so far there's been no further information about that, like when it might come out, if there's an application process, what have you. I know originally, I believe you had to basically prove that you needed it, so you had to be able to support your continued revenue losses and that sort of thing.
Mayor Lowry.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Madam Treasurer, I was wondering if you had further information about what funding might be coming from the daycare. We had heard at the county a couple of weeks ago that there was funding filtering through, I believe, from the province. It didn't seem like a whole lot to go around, but it didn't seem like that there was some there for the licensed daycares. Have we been given any indication?
That's the funding that I just spoke of. That did go to the council table for approval to filter that out to daycare centers, not just municipal centers, but all centers that they support. And at this time, I don't know how much.
We have to
submit receipts monthly to what our actual expenses are. So I don't know if they'll be covered 100% or, you know, it just depends on what the big pot is and how they have to allocate it to everybody.
The big pot isn't huge, so I wasn't sure if you'd had any indication of that yet or not. Thanks.
No.
Any further questions on this report? All in favor to accept interim report number 8? That's carried. We'll move on to D2 draft 2021 budget. I understand this is just a general information. You can go ahead, Treasurer Whitmarsh.
So as the chair just mentioned, the purpose of this meeting on the first draft of the budget is to provide a general overview of the contents of the document and the assumptions that have been used to develop this first draft. As you know, there'll be several meetings and many changes before it is finalized. Tonight, I will do my best to answer general questions so feel free to ask them as I review the materials with you. As a reminder, senior staff will be presenting their departmental budgets to you in two all-day meetings scheduled for October 13th and October 15th, and I would encourage you to reach out to the senior staff person for additional information and clarification prior to that meeting, those meetings. So given the length of this document, I'm not going to be reviewing every page with you this evening, but I'd like to start on page 13, which is budget assumptions and challenges. So the first draft of the 2020 budget is not, or 2021 budget, sorry, is not balanced, and presently has a funding shortfall of $3,671,068, of which $612,091 is for water and sewer. So there's still a significant amount of work to be done before this budget is finalized. The chart in the middle of the page is a summary of the total expenditures, both capital and operating, at $42,386,763, less any projected revenues that we're aware of at this point, $38,715,695, and then we come to the funding shortfall that I just mentioned of $3.7 million, basically. For illustrative purposes only, I've included some information for you as we continue deliberations just to show what that impact would be to a taxpayer or a water user should we just say, okay, we're done, which is not the case. But for water and sewer, the rate increase would be an additional 17.37%, and for tax revenue, an additional increase of 28.2%. So we know that we're not going to be satisfied with those totals, and we're going to continue to work to bring that those numbers down. I'd next like to go to page 14. Which is just a further breakdown of the expenditures that I just referenced in the previous page. So broken down by major expenditure type, right from salaries to capital. You'll note that the capital program is significant this year, $21,254,742, and I will touch on that a little bit later. Next is page 15. So again, this is just depicting information in basically the same format, but you'll note that I've highlighted in yellow the water and sewer shortfall of $612,091. And you'll note in the middle, sort of middle of the page, middle column, you'll see a percentage change. And you can see those departments that have significantly increased over the 2020 budget, notably admin, admin buildings, the fire department at 86%, transportation at 41%, and recreation at 22%. There's others that are higher, but those are the largest ones. So the assumptions, I'll just read through. So we're going to go through pages 15 to 18 or 19, I think it is, and go through the assumptions that we've used for this document. So in terms of staffing, the 2020 budget did not include the full-time fire chief position because that was approved by council after the budget was passed and finalized. So this year, part of the change for the fire department is the addition of that fire chief as a full-time, or deputy fire chief, I'm sorry, deputy fire chief as a full-time position. The service delivery review is still being considered by council. I believe the next report is coming to you on October 6th. So following that, there will be and maybe further implications to the budget. For now, one position that was identified, and we've seen this the past few years, is the communications officer for $77,570. Now, after your discussions about service delivery review, that position may be changed to something different, but at least for now, the funding is in there for one position. And if it is not approved, if the communication officer position is not approved, there will likely need to be additional money for consultants to help in that area. Salaries are calculated using 2020 benefit rates because we don't have 2021 yet, and they likely won't come until about November. This budget has been a little bit challenging because of COVID-19. So some of the departmental expenditures related to COVID or are related to COVID-19, such as cleaning PPE and signage. And I've estimated right now that that value is $63,300. And also comparing the 2021 budget to the actuals to date may be difficult because we've had to put off spending in certain areas. So the budget to actual numbers do look funny right now. While Parsnip Spring remains at the same level as 2020 at $60,000, but I did separate it this year in its own line, so that is line 67 within the transportation budget. I just mentioned that the fire department's budget is significantly higher at 86%, so it will be up to the fire chief to present that budget to you on either October 13th or the 15th. The OPP contract increase is estimated at $38,652. Again, I don't have the actual estimate from the OPP at this point. Cost sharing with Carlton Place, as you know, we're in discussions about that, but it's estimated at a 3% increase. And new this year, it has been moved out of the recreation and library budgets to its own section within the budget document. So that is tab 19 within the folder, or the budget document, sorry. The insurance premium, again, is estimated to increase 4%, and the MVC levy, 2%. So again, due to COVID-19, comparative information for 2020 actual revenue results are lower than anticipated, and some budgeted revenues for 2021 are lower than historical trends. So just keep that in mind as we're moving forward and you're saying, why is this number? It's because the actuals for 2020 are very much skewed. COVID-19 funding received in 2020 is being carried into 2021 in the same amount as I just mentioned for the additional expenditures to offset, so for $63,300. Again, I have to keep an eye on that because there's only $361,000 available right now. As we move through 2020, it's hoped that we still have that much to carry forward. So again, it's going to be monitoring that as we continue budget deliberations. The tax revenue increase right now is estimated at 3%, and that is certainly up for discussion, but 1%, just so you know, equals $108,440. So revenues are projected based on historical trend data where we could do that, so where applicable, and revenues also incorporate the fees and charges increases that we're proposing that we'll talk about later this evening. So Ontario Municipal Partnership funding remains unchanged from 2020. So I think there was an announcement from the province that that would not be changing. And I've also assumed that the Ontario Community Infrastructure funding would also remain at the same level as 2020, or $254,705. As you know, grant funding has been approved for the Levi Bridge, but that project has not been completed, so it's being carried into 2021. We don't know if we will be receiving dividends from Mississippi River Power Corporation. And if we are, and the additional hydro revenue is being shared according to bylaw 15-128 with water and sewer and the municipal budget, 51% for water sewer, 49% municipal. Water and sewer rate increases are consistent with the rate study, and we'll talk about those a little bit later. Gas tax funding is allocated to the capital program consistent with previous years. And the remaining modernization funding, we are paying for the service delivery review out of that grant funding, but the remaining amount, $499,116, has been carried into the capital budget to offset any modernization sort of projects that come out of the strategic plan or service delivery review, although those haven't necessarily been identified at this point. Reserves are being used to fund capital and operating where appropriate, and we'll talk about reserves in a few minutes. In 2020, several capital projects were delayed or postponed as a result of COVID-19 closures and restrictions, so we were very late getting started with the capital program. If they're incomplete at the end of the year, funding will be carried into reserves and then used in 2021. So the capital budget may change as we move forward. Again, as if 2020 projects end up getting finished, they'll come off the 2021 capital budget as it's shown right now. One thing I wanted to mention, this will appear in the next draft. If you recall, last year during budget, we cut work on Gale Street. So that needs to be added back. It got missed just sort of with the change in staffing and what have you. It just got missed. So it'll be in the next version of the budget document. So the capital program is significantly higher than 2020. Last year, the amount funded from taxation and water and sewer rates was just over $2 million. And right now it stands at $5.5 million almost. So an increase of $3.4 million. So again, I'm not going to be discussing the capital budget specific projects this evening. We will do that with the senior staff on those two budget meeting dates in October. New debt for the servicing of the business park is included, and it's split between the transportation and water and sewer areas of the budget, total $1.3 million. This project was just approved. The CAO brought a report forward not that long ago, but in that report, he indicated that there may be the ability to reduce that amount if we're able to sell lots in advance of the work. And it is intended that whatever land sales we do have would be placed into reserves or used to offset any annual debt costs that we have. That loan is not expected, repayments aren't expected until 2022. Debt for the water storage reservoir has not yet been secured because we're just getting underway. The tender was just approved recently. I do note, and it was brought forward by a counselor, that perhaps that $4 million amount could be lowered. So I am going to confirm. I did ask Public Works at one point, but I will confirm again that that number could possibly be lowered, and therefore the long-term financing portion lowered. But again, no impact to this budget because repayments aren't starting till 2022. This one, the next one, the capital budgets for both transportation and water and sewer contain an allocation for the Almont Downtown Renewal Project. And it's just in here for discussion. I'm just not sure where to go with that project. The total is estimated at $4.75 million. That is from an estimate that we received from the consultant back in March. I do realize that those figures may be outdated and require updating, so I will work with Public Works. I think they're bringing a report forward in the coming weeks about that project. But there are no development charges or reserves available, so I don't see any other option but to long-term finance that work. And I'm showing that principal and interest payments would be annually $316,240, water and sewer share $102,780 for an increase, a rate increase of almost 3%, and the municipal share would be $213,460 or a tax increase of approximately 2%. So again, if approved, they wouldn't start till 2022 or possibly even later, depending on when the work is finalized. Does anybody have any questions before I continue on?
Just one sec, Mayor Minnelli. You got more to this part of the report, right?
I'm sorry?
You have more to your report? You just want to stop and take questions at this point?
Yeah, I just thought as we went through the assumptions, it might be okay. A good time to just pause for a minute and okay. See if there's any clarification.
I'm just going to take a mover and seconder first, and then we can go with questions
okay.
As we go.
Okay.
Mover and seconder, please, for draft 21 budget that we receive it for information. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Gerard, and go ahead, Mayor Minnelli. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, sorry.
Thank you, Rhonda. Just wondering, are you expecting a lower income from the gas tax that we get because of COVID? Like, nobody's been driving, there's less purchase of gasoline, so we'll be getting less money, right?
There's been no indication that that's the case. I haven't been told that.
And another question, as is the business park, we're going to put a couple of million dollars into it and sell the land and break even. Why don't we just sell the raw land and save all that hassle and all the stuff? That's just a comment. That'd save us $1 million. And that's it for now.
Just going back to the gas tax for 1 second, we do have a 5-year agreement with the federal government. So I don't expect that they would go back on that agreement and change the amounts that we're expecting.
Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thanks very much, Rhonda. Page 15 is very bottom. Salaries. What are we using for COLA? What percentage?
2.
2. Okay, thanks very much.
We are going into union negotiations in the spring.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Any more questions, Councillor Holmes?
For the Elmont Downtown Renewal Project, is there any opportunity to get any type of grants to help with that?
I'm not aware of any at this point, but that would be ideally what we would like to see happen.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Councillor Maiden.
There was a downtown revitalization grant process that was open, I think, the last couple of years, and it may still be there. I'm not sure. I was looking at it recently, but you couldn't really tell whether it was closed or not. But I think there is something.
I'll look into that.
No more questions? You want to carry on, please?
Okay, next I'd like to go to the taxation section, so page 31, please. So the chart at the top of the page shows that there is no assessment change expected for 2021. The province has canceled their reassessment for next year. And we were told that the assessment values would remain the same for 2021 as they are for 2020. So that chart is showing identical assessments as and no change from last year to this year. It also means that any increase in tax revenue means the same tax rate increase to the average taxpayer. And I'll show you what I mean if you turn the page onto the charts that appear on page 32. So right now we've estimated a tax revenue increase of 3%. You'll note at the very bottom of the page the percentage change from 2020 to 2021 is exactly, well, basically 3%, 2.97, or a change of $55.89 based on assessed value of $364,000. For illustration purposes only, I've included the same charts for a 5, a 7, and a 10% increase, just for your for your information. So again, you'll note that in each scenario, whatever the tax revenue changes, the tax rate change is exactly the same. I'd also like you then to go to page 34. So annually, we prepare a comparison of our tax rates to all of the lower tier municipalities in the County of Lanark. And we are always right in the middle of all of the lower tiers, and nothing has changed. For 2020, we were still exactly in the middle with a tax rate of, and this is a residential tax rate, of 0.516497%. Next, I'd like to move on to debt and reserves, if we could. So turning to page 44. So firstly, I need to apologize because as I was preparing for this meeting today, I realized that the graph at the top of page 44 does not agree to the detailed spreadsheet on page 45, so that will be corrected in the next version of this document. But what it's showing is the total principal outstanding on all loans for each fiscal year from 2021 to 2030. And you'll note the decline in principal over time as loans are repaid. And the chart below on page 44 kind of mirrors that the above chart, but this is the principal and interest payments. So as the principal declines, so do the payments. Page 45 then is the detailed list of all of the loans that we have right now, and I've also added in the water storage reservoir, and the business park. What's not showing is the Almont downtown revitalization work because that still needs quite a bit of discussion. So not only am I listing what financial institution the loans are with, I'm noting the interest rates and the expiry date. So you can see that quite a few of them expire within the next few years. What is one good thing that has happened due to COVID is I had a loan renewal that used to be at 4.94% that I just did recently, and the renewal rate was 1.9%. So that was very good for us. The top of page 46 is summarizing the principal and interest payments that are expected for 2021 by department. You'll note that water and sewer and transportation are the highest. That's to be expected. And on page 47, I'm estimating the reserve balances to the end of 2021. So as I mentioned before, there's a number of projects that are going to be incomplete, likely at the end of 2020. That monies will get transferred into reserves at the end of the year and then pulled next year. So that's why you see that larger spike at the end of 2020, and the value is $12.3 million, and then it lowering again in 2021 down to $10.4 million. The next page, page 48. So every year we consider taking money out of reserves to pay for capital. And if it's possible, in order to preserve those balances, we commit to putting those funds back into reserves over time. So this chart shows the projects and the amounts that are being repaid, if you will, back into reserves in 2021. $351,046, of which $148,240 is for water and sewer projects, the balance for general municipal projects. And on page 49, we have new projects that we're proposing to take out of reserves and repay. And I say new because they're in the 2021 budget, but actually all of this work is carryover from 2020, and we have already agreed to do this through the 2020 budget process. So the amount that will be pulled is $579,226. First repayment back to reserves happening in 2022. On page 50, we have a further breakdown of all of our various reserve accounts and showing the estimated transfers in and out for 2020 as well as for 2021. You'll note at the bottom of the page a further summary totaling the $10.4 million that I'm expecting to happen to the end of 2021. About four lines from the top. Nope, sorry. Two lines from the top. Second line down, if I could talk. Capital is just over $3 million. And if we turn to page 51, I make note that that only represents about 1.8% of all of the capital works that we need to do in the coming years. So I'm hopeful that we can try to begin building up the reserve balances. We did a little bit last year. It'd be nice if we could continue with that. I'm not going to be going over all of the departmental operating budgets at this point. I'll let the senior staff do that when they come and speak to you, unless somebody has any specific question. So I'll just pause there for a second before I jump to water and sewer.
So questions, comments? Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Rhonda, on page 45, long-term debt. You mentioned one that we have now received very, very favorable rate, new rate. Are there any of these that could be renegotiated, albeit with a penalty, that would save us anything?
That's the possibility. When I looked into that a few years back, the penalty was so significant that we couldn't justify it. It doesn't hurt to have the conversation again, though.
Good. Thank you.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Thank you, Rhonda. I know we're going to the sewer and water budget right away, but when we look at long-term debt and the first pie that we have here to show long-term debt, do you not think that the sewer and water debt should be a different pie? Because it's not paid by taxes, it's paid by the water bill. So it should be a separate pie. I'm really concerned. I've voiced my opinion lots about having a separate sewer and water committee, and I think the debt is getting out of control and they're just putting it in the general budget and it doesn't sound as much. But that's a $12 million debt to residents of Elmont, right?
Although the debt appears on this spreadsheet, I used to separate it out and have two different totals, one for the municipal budget and one for water and sewer. I can assure you that all the debt that is being paid that relates to water and sewer is flowing into the water and sewer budget and being paid out of the rates. So although it's consolidated in the schedule, they're certainly separated in terms of how they're being paid.
I realize that.
Okay.
I'm just thinking that it should be a separate pie for the residents of Elmont because Pakenham doesn't pay any sewer and water, Ramsey. So that $12 million debt is only consolidated to the residents of Elmont, right?
The water and sewer debt, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's just a comment. Thank you.
Any more questions, comments? Okay, you can continue.
So now I'll ask you to move to the water and sewer section, which is, I got to look at my notes here. Page 164 is where I'd like to go next. Again, I'm not going through the budget in detail. That will be up to Public Works to do that with you at the next meetings. Page 164 is a summary of all of the major expenditures for this department, less any known revenues to arrive at that deficit or shortfall that I've been speaking of I was speaking to earlier at the beginning of the meeting of $612,091. The major contributor to that total is capital. Operating hasn't changed very much. You'll notice on the side percentage change from the 2020 budget to 2021, there's not a whole lot of movement there. It's mostly the capital, which is up 127%. So Councillor Minnelli, to your point about debt, I just wanted to show you on page 165, line 15, that the long-term debt charges related to water and sewer projects appear here. If you wish, I can add another chart or something that just highlights water and sewer debt within this section. so it's just separated.
Yes, and I like the way you did it on the Main Street, where you had it highlighted in red, so you know that there's two charges there.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
And the only other thing that I want to talk about in terms of the water and sewer budget is the proposed rate increase. So that's on page 173. We've had the same sort of 3% increases for the last several years. So this chart is showing the impacts to the average user, a 3% increase or $31 for the year. This, the 3% is in keeping with the water and sewer rate study, but there is money in the 2021 budget to update that study. So there may be changes to not just the rate structure, but the requirement, the required increase going forward. So for now, that's what's being proposed. So again, I'll just pause there if anybody has any questions about water and sewer. Nope, okay. Good. Next, I will go to the staff report on fees and charges, found on page 175 to 194. So each year, the municipality reviews fees and proposes increases for the following budget year by looking at market rates and contacting other municipalities to get just comparative.
Before we move on to this one?
Yeah.
There was no more questions on the previous one.
Oh, sorry. It's a separate report on the agenda. I'm sorry.
No problem. So the recommended motion for the draft 2021 budget. I'll just ask one more time. Was there any more comments or questions on the draft budget? Councilor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Rhonda, again on page 173, certainly service delivery report, that we are, preliminary one rather, gave us a comparison in water rates to our, well, to our comparators virtually. Is there any discussion, or you feel there's going to be some discussion specifically to identification or continuation of that discussion rather, moving forward with the budget?
For me, I think the study that's going to justify a change in rates will be the rate study.
Right.
Because although other municipalities might have different rates than we do, higher or lower, we all have different needs, particularly with regard to capital replacement. So as we move forward with asset management, and I know that there's other ways to structure bills. Like right now, we have a base charge and a consumption charge, and we charge the same for all sorts of development, whether it's residential, commercial, industrial, what have you. So I know there are other ways to structure bills, and that's one thing that I want to look at. But also, as I just mentioned, we have other needs that maybe another municipality does not have. So we need to really do our own study to get the updated rates.
Yeah, no, understandably so. Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions? So all in favor of the recommended motion the 2021 draft budget be received for information? That's carried. And we'll continue to 2021 draft fees and charges. Thank you.
Sorry, I jumped the gun there.
That's okay.
So each year we do a review of fees and charges by comparing ourselves to other municipalities as well as looking at at market rates. So what I'm presenting here, and particularly on pages 177 to 178, I believe it is, that's a summary of all of the fees and charges that we're proposing to change for 2021. Some of them are increases, some of them are removal of the fees that we feel are no longer applicable. The majority of the fee changes relate to the building department, recreation, and the daycare. And so unless anybody has any specific questions, the actual draft bylaw is also attached from pages 180 to 194. I'm not expecting an approval of the fees this evening. I think you need to take time to review them and maybe ask questions of the respective department head before we move forward with approval. But if you are satisfied, we can pass the motion to approve them this evening.
Okay, so we'll go with the mover and seconder for the recommended motion that the Committee of the Whole recommend Council approve the proposed changes to the fee schedule and that the public notice be given as Council's intention to pass the 2021 fees and charges bylaw. Can I suggest somebody put a motion on the table to receive his information at this time? Mayor Lowry moved it. Councillor Holmes seconded it. Any discussion on that? All in favor? That's carried. So do you want to questions, comments to Treasurer Whitmarsh on this, or do we move on?
It's carried. Okay. If I could just say just repeat that if you have questions about the fees and charges, go to the department head that's responsible for that area, and they can provide some insight as to why they're proposing those changes. Most of them are just cost recovery, but there may be other things that you want answered.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Lowry?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Madam Treasurer, I just wondered if you could let us know if there's a window of time where these fees and charges should be, where the bylaw needs to be updated. Obviously ahead of 2021, but...
Right, so if we want them to take effect for 2021, we need them passed at the very latest of the last council meeting this year.
Okay.
We are required to give notice, though, so we have to at least have the motion allowing us to go to give that notice. And I have to check the dates, but I think it's at least 10 days notice that we have to provide.
Okay. So this the motion is printed in the agenda tonight. Would that resurface at our next budget meeting?
Correct. This report will appear again in the next...
And with this specific motion regarding the fees and charges?
Right.
Perfect. Thank you.
Councillor Maiden?
Through the chair, maybe to the CAO, would it be appropriate if we had questions about certain of the fees? Because I notice a lot of the building ones, for example, are not applicable anymore. Just during the budget discussions, if we could ask the department head as to why that is, or like what the thinking was behind it, because there's a few that have really significantly changed, fire and building.
Yes, through the chair to Councillor Maiden. We'll have some answers to those as part of the discussion. There is no department head, so it'll be a kind of a tag team between myself and basically the chief building official who has been involved in those discussions over what the fees should or should not be.
Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Rhonda, something's puzzled me all along. What do we capture in cost recovery, and how do we capture it as salaries? Do we capture the maximum salary of the individual, or how do we capture that?
Let me think how to answer this. I think the way that they should be captured is a tracking of actual time spent. So for a building permit, for example, it should be tracked from the initial application stage to the final inspection closing. Presently, we don't have a system in place that does that. So right now, our fees are built around what other municipalities charge and our best estimate of the time spent. I feel like that's the way that most of the fees are charged. However, we also have to keep in mind that we have to remain competitive, particularly with regard to daycare fees and recreation fees. You don't want users moving to another municipality because it's cheaper. We need to keep them here. So you have to keep that in mind as well when we're setting fees.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions this evening? Could I get a mover and seconder for the motion that the meeting be adjourned at 7 p.m. Mayor Lowry, Councillor Ferguson, all in favor? And meeting's adjourned.